How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. This week, I am live here from Las Vegas, Nevada, home of UFC 162. We're going to be talking a lot about one of the most legendary MMA shows of all time, or at least a show that featured one of the most legendary finishes of all time. After all these years, Anderson Silva knocked out by Chris Weidman. Chris Weidman, your new UFC middleweight champion. I'm here in Las Vegas for the weekend. I'm going to go over all of the results of the show, talk all about the weekend. There's a lot of stuff going on down here. There was the UFC Fan Expo, which featured a grappling tournament. And in the main event of the tournament, we actually had, one of the super fights for the tournament, we had two UFC fighters going at it. And we'll talk about that here on the show. And all of the results from the UFC show last night, 162, we have a new middleweight champion. We've got a lot of information from the post-fight press conference. A lot of people going into the show were downplaying the possibilities of Chris Weidman winning this fight. And he was the underdog in the odds. And interestingly enough, UFC had sent out a press release that basically they interviewed a whole bunch of UFC fighters, and to a person, they virtually all picked Chris Weidman. And of course, the odds were very, very different. A lot of fans saw it differently as well. And at the end of the day, there are still some fans asking if Chris Weidman really beat Anderson Silva. The fact of the matter is, of course he did. But because of the way that the whole thing went down, there are always going to be people asking if Weidman really would have beaten Anderson Silva if Anderson Silva did not decide to clown around. What happened in the fight? We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. We've also got a lot of news, obviously. A lot of stuff going on in the world of MMA and pro wrestling, including tomorrow on Raw. It is going to be the debut, after all of these weeks, of the Wyatt Clan. The Wyatt Clan is going to debut. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff that's going to be going on with Raw and WWE over the next several weeks, including a preview of the Money in the Bank show, which is coming up next Sunday. We'll talk about SummerSlam, a shooting outside a comedy club that Colt Cabana was performing at over the weekend, and a lot of other news. So a lot of stuff coming up today. Make sure you stick near that dial, and we'll be back in just a moment to talk about more. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We are not joined this week by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, but we're going to solo here tonight, talking about a lot of different things. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline at USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 94, 794, lately a lot on Channel 92, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can also check us out on the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. I know Sirius Satellite Radio has an app as well. And, of course, WrestlingObserver.com. You can always check out the show there live at 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. And replay goes up on WrestlingObserver.com as well. So many different places to hear this show. Mike Sempervivi is going to be back next week. Last night, he actually went to the WWE show that took place, I believe, in Ocean City. It was called near his home. He brought his son. And I guess the big news coming out of that show, Mike sent me a photo a little bit later on in the evening, and first he sent me a text, and it just said, Avery with chicken. And Avery, of course, is the name of his son. And I was like, Avery, there's a chicken at the WWE show? What are you talking about here? And Sempervivi sends a picture, and the chicken in question was Mark Briscoe. Mark and Jay Briscoe apparently were in the front row of the WWE house show last night in Ocean City. Now, Mike Sempervivi lives on the coast in Delaware. And, of course, the Briscoes live in Delaware as well. I have not talked to anybody today about the Briscoes showing up at the WWE show. My guess is they just showed up. I could be wrong. We'll have more information tonight on the website, probably later on today in the afternoon update. But the Briscoes were there. What that means for the future is anybody's guess. We're going to get to UFC results here in just a moment, but wanted to quickly mention that the story with the Briscoes, they are no longer, obviously, with ROH. We talked about this last week, and ROH has officially announced that Jay Briscoe has been stripped of the ROH title. So at this moment, Ring of Honor does not have a champion. Now, as we mentioned last week on the program, the Jay Briscoe's situation is very interesting. ROH had a long-term plan that involved Jay and Mark Briscoe leaving the company after the Best in the World iPay-per-view. Now, it is believed that the company felt that following Best in the World, when their contracts expired at the end of June, both brothers were going to be going to WWE. That it is believed that that is what was thought. So they booked a long-term story, and this was known long in advance. This was not a last-minute deal. I don't know when they came up with this idea. It's probably right around the time that that Kevin Steen won the ROH title. But they figured that they were leaving, and so they booked a storyline where they would be gone after Best in the World, and whatever the storylines are from now to the end of the year, they did not involve the Briscoes, at least in a meaningful capacity. So Jay Briscoe, as everyone is well aware, made a tweet where he said some things that were very controversial. The tweet was deleted. His Twitter was taken down. And the belief is that WWE at that point got cold feet on the Briscoes. So the feeling was that their contracts expired. They probably were not going to WWE, likely coming back to Ring of Honor. But since all of the long-term plans in ROH had been built based around the Briscoes not being around, they continued on with their storylines. So even though I don't believe that ROH thinks that the Briscoes are going to WWE, they still booked the angle to remove both of them from television. They have booked an angle to take the title off of Jay Briscoe, and they have announced that they are going to be doing a championship tournament to determine a new champion. The first time in the history of Ring of Honor that the championship has been vacant. They're going to be doing a tournament. And to give you an example of how long-term the planning is in ROH, several months ago, I didn't even think about this until I saw the lineup for the tournament. Several months ago, they did a match with Carl Anderson from New Japan. Carl Anderson was brought in, and he was only brought in for a couple of dates. And most people figured, well, he's only in for a couple of dates, and so Carl Anderson will come in and put some people over. Instead, Carl Anderson won. And so everybody was confused. Why would you bring Carl Anderson in for a couple of dates and put him over, and then he just goes back to New Japan? Well, they've announced that Carl Anderson is, in fact, one of the participants in the ROH title tournament. So a result they booked a long time ago that seemed like it made no sense at the time actually was planned far in advance because they'd been planning on doing a tournament for a long time. So, long story short, everything in ROH is going as they had planned. Whether the Briscoes will return, I don't know. They could go to WWE. They could come back. They are currently exploring all options. I suppose that there is a possibility that they were they're doing some sort of I don't know, maybe they had a tryout at the Ocean City show. I don't know. Usually they don't do tryouts at these house shows. It has happened before, but usually they'll be brought to TV and everything will be sort of handled at television. But it is believed that they have not signed a deal. They are not with WWE. Whether they sign a deal, I guess we shall see. But that is the latest, and we'll find out soon where everybody is going. If they end up back in Ring of Honor, then they didn't sign. And if they don't return to Ring of Honor in August, then it's possible that they are going to WWE. So just wanted to get that out of the way, since obviously a lot of people are talking today about the Briscoes being front row at that Ocean City house show in Maryland. All right, we got to talk about UFC, obviously. As some of you may have heard, there is a new UFC middleweight champion. His name is Chris Weidman. He beat the greatest fighter in the history of mixed martial arts, Anderson Silva, at UFC 162 last night at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. I was there. I witnessed it live. It was amazing. Let me just say this. When I showed up at the building, I figured that Anderson Silva was winning. And I thought, yes, Chris Weidman has a chance of winning. Do I really think that all these fighters think that Chris Weidman is winning? As I noted, they sent out a press release and interviewed like 18, 20 fighters, and they all picked Chris Weidman. Do I really believe that? I don't know. Maybe they all do. It seems like, really, 100% of fighters don't think that the greatest fighter who ever lived can beat Chris Weidman. I found that hard to believe, but maybe it's true. Anyway, the point is, I thought that Weidman had a chance to win, obviously. Anybody can win a fight. Weidman was a younger, stronger version of Chael Sonnen, and Chael Sonnen nearly beat Anderson Silva in their first fight until he got himself triangled in the at the end of the fifth round. And I thought, well, it is very possible that this fight could go exactly the same way. Chris Weidman will take him down every round, pound on him, maybe not do a lot of damage, but win every round. And then in the fifth round, he won't get triangled, and he will win a decision, and he will be the new middleweight champion. I thought that would happen. I thought that could happen, but I was not predicting that to happen. So I get to the building, and Brazilians everywhere, and Americans everywhere, and they had printed up, I believe, 11,000 flags. They were these little towels, and they had the half of them were Brazilian, half of them were American. And they were flags with little UFC logos on them. And as you went into the building, everybody got to choose a flag. And as you're going through the doors, they ask, would you like a U.S. flag or would you like a Brazilian flag? And I chose a Brazilian flag because I teach jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And we've got a school and we've got a kids program. And summer camp is coming up. And every summer camp, we give away a prize at the end of the camp. We do like a coloring contest or some sort of art project while they're having their lunch. And we always have a prize at the end of camp. And so I saw these towels and I was like, all right, this would be a great prize to give away at the end of kids camp coming up in August. We'll do a contest or whatever, and the winner is going to get a Brazilian towel flag from UFC 162. What a cool prize. So I get it, and I fold it up, and I put it in my pocket, and I'm just planning on giving this flag away. So I go in there, and I watch the show, and had a good time, and main event comes, and like the rest of the show was like the rest of the show, but the main event was, that was the big one, because everybody was talking about it, and I sat there, and I watched the fight, and I'll go over the play-by-play after this is over, but Anderson Silva got knocked out. And I was there, and I know there are a lot of people that may have gone to the show, considered it, but didn't go, and they're probably really angry about it right now, because you know what? There may never be a moment like this again, because there may never be a person who has a streak as long as Anderson Silva. He's the greatest fighter of all time. And I was there the night that Anderson Silva got knocked out by Chris Weidman. And the moment it happened, I had that flag in my pocket, and I was like, I am not giving this flag away. I am never giving this flag away. This flag is a part of history, and I am keeping it forever. So nobody gets the flag but me. We're going to go over the match when we come back from the break. Observer Live, Sports Byline, Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, 92, and 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can also check us out on the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. That is the TuneIn Radio app. And the Sirius Satellite Radio app works as well. So a lot of different ways to hear Wrestling Observer Live every Sunday. It's up on the website. Replays are available on the website. And it's a lot of fun. So obviously, if you're listening to this, you're well aware of that. Check it out. We are talking UFC 162, which took place Saturday night, MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. I am here in Las Vegas right now doing this show solo. Mike Sempervivi is over on the East Coast. Took a son to WWE, so he'll be back next week on the show. I am here to recap the legendary events of last night. Anderson Silva and Chris Weidman. This fight, as I talked about earlier on the program, this is a fight that may never happen again. There will never be another fight like this one, perhaps. Anderson Silva has been champion seemingly forever, undefeated in UFC, the longest title reign of all time, the most title defenses of all time. Maybe no one will ever break that record. He is renowned as the greatest mixed martial arts fighter who has ever lived. And last night at UFC, he lost to Chris Weidman. And if you didn't see the show, let me explain. Anderson Silva, if you've ever watched any of his fights, is he's very good. Maybe you've noticed. He is so talented. His stand-up is so great that he has, on many occasions, toyed with his opponents. He will put his hands down. He will lean his face forward. He will bob and weave. He will step out of the way. He will avoid all of these shots coming at him. And in one particularly famous incident with Forrest Griffin, he was bobbing and weaving and backing up. And as he backed up, he threw a jab. A jab while backing up that ended the fight. This man is unbelievable. There's the old saying that You live by the sword, you die by the sword. And that is what happened here. I know that MMA fans often do not like to hear that a finish was straight out of pro wrestling. But if you were going to book a finish to a fight, maybe this wouldn't be the best one. Maybe the best finish would be Anderson Silva having an epic battle with Chris Weidman, a five-round battle, where at the end of the fifth round, not a decision, at the end of the fifth round, Weidman manages to knock out or submit Anderson Silva. That probably would have been a better finish. But in terms of poetic justice and dying upon your own sword and a fitting doom for a man, this was one of the great finishes in the history of mixed martial arts. Anderson Silva, in the first round, was taken down by Weidman. He was taken down. He was beaten up a little bit. Not too bad, but he was hit. And he eventually managed to get back to his feet and lost the round. So Chris Weidman won round one. Now, this has happened to Silva a billion times. In fact, he lost the first round of the last fight with Chael Sonnen and then decided to destroy Chael Sonnen in the second round. So he comes out for the second round, and actually in the first round, this started at the end of the first round, he began toying, mocking Weidman, hands down, daring him to throw shots, moving out of the way, throwing hard leg kicks, daring him to throw leg kicks, comes out and he does the exact same thing in the second round. And at this point, it's getting ridiculous. He bobs, he weaves, he gets out of the way. He's playing the Anderson Silva game. He's putting his face out. And at one point, he puts his face out, and Weidman clips him. Not hard, but he clipped him a little bit. And as he clipped him, Silva pretended that he had been hit so hard that he was on wobbly legs. And he does this big, dramatic legs wobbling and his arms flopping about. And a lot of fighters would have just froze. Like, what is this guy doing? But not Chris Weidman. Silva did his googly leg thing, and Chris Weidman moved forward. He punched him again, knocked him on his ass, followed up with another shot, and knocked out Anderson Silva. It was bound to happen at some point, realistically. You can only play with fire for so long before you get burned. What a show of cliches this is. You can only play with fire so long before you get burned. Anderson Silva got burned. Knocked out. My first thought, if you watch the fight, Anderson Silva gets knocked out. He gets knocked to the ground, and Weidman hits a couple of punches. And as the ref is breaking it up, Silva grabs the guy's leg. And my first thought, honest to God, because he'd been clowning around so much, my first thought was that he didn't actually get knocked out. And first, when he was hit, he did the wobbly legs. And then the second time when he barely got hit, he did a big, like, pro wrestling style back bump. The ref thought he was knocked out, and he stopped the fight, but Silva actually screwed him. Actually, I honest to God thought that. But when you saw the replay, I mean, obviously, he'd been knocked out. But in terms of, like, poetic finishes to the end of the Anderson Silva reign as middleweight champion, no finish would have been more fitting. I'm not saying no finish would have been better, but no finish would have been more fitting than this one. Anderson Silva afterwards did a promo. They interviewed Weidman, by the way, and he was obviously on cloud nine, and he pretty much said that even though I had said that I saw myself doing this, I visualized it, I knew I could do it, he still, you could tell, was absolutely amazed that he was standing there with the middleweight championship around his draped on his shoulder, having knocked out Anderson Silva. But people just went nuts. Talk about a double turn. During the weigh-ins, Anderson Silva was cheered like crazy, and Chris Weidman was booed. They did a stare down. Anderson Silva pretty much kissed Chris Weidman. Weidman revealed that Silva did in fact have soft lips. They went into the fight. Anderson Silva was the huge babyface, and granted, half the building was probably Brazilians, but still, I mean, he was easily the favorite. Weidman was booed like crazy. Obviously, he had some fans, of course. Way more when it was over, obviously, but mostly booed. Silva, you know, overall, just crowd went nuts for him. When he started playing around and then got himself knocked out, Chris Weidman became number one, without a doubt, biggest babyface on the show. Silva was booed like crazy. The Brazilians turned on him. The Americans turned on him. Everybody turned on him. And really, when you think about it, I mean, what a way to go out. He went out. He put the dude over, so to speak, via knockout, clean finish. And it was a double turn with Weidman going in as a guy that nobody liked or knew or cared about. And when it was over, Chris Weidman is a huge star. So good job, Anderson Silva. Sorry it had to end this way, but that's the way it ended. Dana White obviously was, I don't know if fuming would be the right word, but clearly, if you recall many years ago, Anderson had a few fights where he was doing this, and Dana at one point actually threatened that he could cut Anderson Silva. Obviously, he's not cutting him, but he's been very upset about the clowning around in the past, and this time his middleweight champion was beaten, and I'm sure that he was quite upset about that, given that at the post-fight press conference, he admitted that all super fights off the table. That means no talk of Anderson Silva versus GSP. No talk of Anderson Silva versus Johnny Bones Jones. No super fights coming up. Now, Silva in his post-fight interview stated that I no longer have any interest in fighting for the title. And obviously, before the fight, Dane had said that if Weidman beat Silva, Silva wouldn't get an automatic rematch. So Silva pretty much said, I don't want a rematch. Chris Weidman is the man now. Chris Weidman is the champion. Chris Weidman is the best in the world. I'm tired. I want to go home. I want to talk to my family. He said at the press conference he was going to take 3 or 4 months and decide what he was going to do. He said he did not want to fight for the title anymore. He was done fighting for the belt. He just wanted to take fights. Joe Rogan said, are you retiring? And he said, no, I have 10 fights left on my deal, which that right there tells you, take anything that Anderson Silva says with a grain of salt. Anderson Silva has played with the media and with Dana White and with the fans so many times. I don't buy a thing he says. I mean that in the most respectful way possible. I don't buy a word of it. I think there's a good chance he's just angling for more money for a rematch. I think that if Dana White asked him to face Weidman at the end of the year, he would say yes. I think if Dana White, and Dana even said this at the press conference, he said, listen, I don't have any problem with Anderson Silva. Anderson has, he's got a way about him, and he'll say all sorts of things, but behind closed doors, we get along great. He has never turned down a fight. If I asked him to do any fight, he will do it. And so I'm sure Dana believes that if he wants to do the rematch in December, or if he decides, you know what? What the hell? Let's do this Anderson Silva versus John Jones super fight. I'm pretty sure that Anderson Silva will take it. But that is the public word from Anderson Silva right now, so I guess we'll see how it goes. The bonuses, there were a lot of them. The knockout of the night, obviously, was Weidman. Gabriel Gonzaga, I believe, got an 18-second, maybe 17-second knockout. But in UFC, the bigger star that gets knocked out, that's usually where the bonus goes. So Weidman got the knockout bonus for Anderson. And honest to God, as great as Gonzaga's knockout was, in 100 years, one of these two knockouts will be remembered, and it's not the Gabriel Gonzaga knockout. Best fight, Frankie Edgar and the Oliveira fight, which actually that was the semi-main event. Charles Oliveira and Frankie Edgar. It was a great fight. I wouldn't call it maybe the fight of the year, but it was a really, really good fight. Frankie Edgar got the decision. It was amazing because, like, Frankie Edgar's had a lot of five-round decisions. He's done a lot of pay-per-views that have not done gangbuster numbers. But when he came out, he was a big star. Everybody was on their feet for his entrance. They all saw him as a really big deal. And he got a win here, and I think it helped Oliveira as well. And it was just a really good fight, a great fight. So they got a $50,000 bonus, and the Cub Swanson fight. I actually wrote Weidman here, but that was not Cub Swanson's opponent. Dennis Seaver, they got a Fight of the Night bonus as well. More in a moment. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are here, of course, every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Tri-Channel 92, 94, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Also, you can check us out on the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. That is the TuneIn Radio app. Search Wrestling Observer or Sports Byline, and you can hear the show. Also, if you have Sirius Satellite Radio, there's a TuneIn, I'm sorry, the Sirius Radio app. Sirius Satellite Radio app is available on your smartphone as well, so make sure you check that one out. And as noted, for the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. We have tons of news up there. Daily radio shows. Dave Meltzer and I did a radio show last night talking this program. Of course, you've got this program here. We'll be back tomorrow night after Raw. We also put up every single show we've ever done into our members-only archives. To sign up, it's $11.99. I'm sorry, $10.99 a month. I almost overpriced my own website. $10.99 a month. And for that price, you not only get all of the brand new radio shows, but every single show that we've ever done dating back to 2005 is available in our archives. So talked to a lot of people this weekend at the UFC Fan Expo. A lot of subscribers and listeners. And many of them have noted that I used to listen to the show for free, and I finally decided I've got to get a subscription. And my God, it was the best $10.99. They didn't actually say the best $10.99, but they absolutely love the website. And some of them have been here. Talked to a guy, one of the guys here, Derek Darby, has been a subscriber since I believe like issue 108. I'm on issue 941 now, so think about that. And another subscriber, Jeremy Dimer, has been subscribing since, I believe, 1997. So, believe me, if you sign up, you're going to like what you hear. So, check it out at WrestlingObserver.com. We're talking the UFC show. We got a lot of stuff to get into in the last 20 minutes here. The results of the rest of the show very quickly. I just want to go over these. We talked about the main event, Anderson Silva getting knocked out by Chris Weidman after clowning around in the main event. Fell on his own sword, and Weidman, your new UFC 185-pound champion. The reign of Anderson Silva has officially ended. In the semi-main, Frankie Edgar beat Charles Oliveira in a very good fight, won the $50,000 best fight bonus, two best fight bonuses since there were no submissions on the show. Really good fight. Edgar got the decision, 30-27, 29-28, and 30-27. Very good fight. I don't know where this puts Frankie Edgar, perhaps in line for a championship match. Oliveira, I think, made himself into a bigger star with this performance, and we shall see where they both go. Hodger Gracie versus Tim Kennedy, both coming from Strikeforce. Hodger Gracie, I don't know. He's a guy that... His Gracie Jiu-Jitsu is all about wearing down an opponent and getting them tired and then submitting them. And unfortunately, he ran into a guy that had good Jiu-Jitsu, and he ran into a fight in the UFC where in 2013, it's not 1993 anymore. You don't have unlimited rounds, or not unlimited rounds, but no time limits. He, at one point, had Tim Kennedy in his guard, and referee stood him up. And once that happened, I mean, it was pretty clear this is not going to be Hodger Gracie's fight. And he lost 30-27, 30-27, 29-28 to Kennedy. Kennedy did not get a post-fight interview, partially because they were running short on time and partially because the last time he spoke publicly, he was talking about how UFC fighters were horribly underpaid. Keep in mind, he had not debuted for UFC yet when he said this. So he, the next day, lo and behold, issued a public apology. So you can imagine what might have happened there. So Tim Kennedy gets a win over Hodger Gracie. Mark Munoz and Tim Bosch. Mark Munoz won the fight. 30-26, 30-27, 29-28 were the scorecards. Munoz coming back from an injury, probably in the best shape of his career. He had a great fight. Got better the longer the fight went along. And by the third round, you could argue 10-8 round for that third round. Just destroyed Mark Munoz. And he looked awesome. And at the post-fight press conference, he did, in fact, challenge Chris Weidman to a championship match. So we'll see if they end up putting that together. But Mark Munoz looked awesome here. And Cub Swanson and Dennis Seaver was the opener on the show. And this was a great fight. Didn't win fight of the night, but an excellent fight. And standing ovation afterwards. 2 minutes and 24 seconds with Seaver getting knocked out. Just a real good fight, three-round battle, and it's good stuff. So if you get a chance to check out the main card, legendary card, and some good fights. Undercard was all right. The main event was Chris Leben and Andrew Craig, which Andrew Craig won via decision, 29-28 Lieben, and 30-27 Craig. So one judge actually gave it to Chris Lieben. Lieben's just, the fight wasn't much. Lieben is old. Craig, I don't see either guy doing anything in this division. Just had a fight, and it was the main event of the prelims on Fuel TV, and lit nobody's world on fire. I think if you were going to buy the show, you were going to buy the show. I don't think the prelims were going to turn you off to it. I don't think the prelims sold a single solitary person on the show. But, yeah, that was the main event of the prelims. And really, the show was worth it just for the main card and the legendary knockout of Anderson Silva. So if you want more on UFC 162, you can check out last night's Wrestling Observer Radio with myself and Dave Meltzer. It's up on the website right now, so head up there and check that out. We talked about this show forever, so check it out. It's a great show. We got a lot of other news I got to get into here today. We're running low on time, so let's get into it. First off, Raw is tomorrow. It is the final show before the Money in the Bank pay-per-view for 2013, and I'm going to go over the card very quickly here in just a moment. But for Raw tomorrow night, it is obviously going to being built around the debut of the Wyatt Clan. They're debuting tomorrow, and much of the show is going to be built around them, so get ready for that. I kind of expect them to debut in the final segment, but I know the final segment obviously would probably, they prefer to be that to be a big segment to sell the pay-per-view. So unless they've got some sort of match, or they're going to be making some sort of appearance, or they promise to, I don't know, steal a briefcase, I don't know what they could do, but I don't know if they'll be the final segment on the show. But it is going to be heavily built around them, so that's tomorrow. And the Vicky Guerrero job, the job evaluation that they've promised to do, I've been told that it is a spoof of Gut Check, which means we've got Hunter, Stephanie, and Vince. And she's going to have to plead her case. And obviously, one person is going to vote that she should keep her job. One person is going to vote that she should be fired. And then it will come down to the third person's vote. And my guess is that she will probably retain her job. But that is going to be the Vicky Guerrero segment. Unless that changes Monday afternoon, which is very likely since they do often change plans on Monday afternoon and rewrite the entire script. Although they have not done that the past couple of weeks. So we'll see what happens. A couple of other WWE notes. SummerSlam. I've been told that The Undertaker has made a decision about whether or not he's going to work SummerSlam. I don't know what the decision is, and whatever it is, they've got the top four matches booked, and they are said to be as close to set in stone as can be set in stone. In other words, they're not expecting a lot of changes to the top four matches, so I'm sure we'll be getting those. We'll get an idea probably after Money in the Bank, so next week's Raw, we'll get an idea of those matches for SummerSlam, but that's the latest on that. And finally, the Total Divas show, which is going to be debuting on E. It is going to actually be airing on July 29th at 11 o'clock p.m. immediately after Raw on the USA Network. So that's, I guess, going to be the kickoff to Total Divas. You'll be able to check it out after Raw on July 29th. So you can get excited for that. And if you saw the Divas segment on Raw last Monday, how could you not get excited about that? All right, the Money in the Bank card. Very controversial. It's been announced that The Shield will be facing The Usos for the tag team titles. That is not controversial, obviously, because that's been built up for a while. But they are going to be performing in the pre-show match. The Shield is on the pre-show. And there was a lot of talk backstage in WWE when this decision was made. Do they really need to put The Shield on the pre-show? Is this killing The Shield? Should they really be here? Why can't they be on the pay-per-view? But they're going to be on the pre-show, so there you go. Maybe they're figuring if you put a Shield match on the pre-show, a lot of people will watch the pre-show, get excited for the pay-per-view, but I'm not sure if that's going to be the case. It is very interesting. I would not have done this, but that was the decision that they made. Main event of Money in the Bank. Next Sunday, John Cena versus Mark Henry for the WWE title. And I would expect that John Cena retains to lead to a match with Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam. It is interesting. The odds for this match, John Cena was a minus 2,000 favorite. A couple of days ago, the odds swung. He is now only a minus 200 favorite. What that likely means is that WWE changed to finish. And people who are aware of this put a bunch of money on it. Now, the odds switching does not mean that Mark Henry may now leave with the championship. All it means is that John Cena may not win the match. So he could lose via disqualification. A lot of different ways it could go. They could do a rematch on Raw. We'll find out, but very interesting to see those odds swing like that. Alberto Del Rio faces Dolph Ziggler for the World Heavyweight Championship. I would expect a title change, actually. They took the title off Dolph as a way to get Alberto more over as a heel to do the double turn. Now that he's a heel, I suppose they could put the belt back on Ziggler, or maybe they'll keep it on Del Rio, and then Ziggler can get it back at SummerSlam. But I would figure at some point down the road, babyface Ziggler wins that championship back. We've got two Money in the Bank ladder matches on the Raw side. It's Punk, Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, Sheamus, Christian Kane, and Rob Van Dam. I would think there's a decent chance Daniel Bryan wins and announces he's cashing in against Cena at SummerSlam, announces in advance. And it actually fits into the storyline if John Cena retains the title against Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam, that John Cena was the first man ever to cash in Money in the Bank and fail. And I guess in exchange for that, he gets to be the first person, or the second person, I guess, to successfully retain when a Money in the Bank person challenges him, that being Daniel Bryan. And then maybe Daniel Bryan can actually cash it in someday, and that's how he'll be repaid. But a lot of different ways they could go. I know a lot of people in WWE really want Daniel Bryan to win the title at SummerSlam and are lobbying for that. We'll see what happens, but that's the plan for those matches. Also, the other ladder match, Wade Barrett, Cody Rhodes, Damian Sandow, Dean Ambrose, Fandango, Jack Swagger, and Antonio Cesaro, and all heel Money in the Bank. Should be very interesting to see the crowd reaction to that match. Maybe someone will come out of this a babyface. I don't know. But doesn't really matter who wins. I wouldn't be surprised, honest to God, I would not be surprised if they put it on Antonio Cesaro or even Wade Barrett. Dean Ambrose, maybe, although he's already got a title. But yeah, that's that match. We also got Curtis Axel versus The Miz for the Intercontinental title. Hopefully Curtis Axel retains. I know that they are trying very hard to make these titles meaningful. So that means putting them on guys that are being pushed and not changing them a lot. So hopefully he gets the win there and retains the title. And also AJ Lee is going to be facing Caitlin for the Divas title. AJ is the champion. And Caitlyn, obviously, is the challenger. They've done a lot of stuff on television, and we'll see where that goes. The one interesting thing about Raw and Money in the Bank is, what are they doing with AJ and Dolph Ziggler and Big E Langston? Dolph Ziggler right now is a babyface. AJ and Big E are heels. They have not broken up. AJ is coming out with Big E, but not with Dolph. Dolph is coming out alone. So I don't know if there's a storyline that is coming here, or if they're just going to pretend that they were never dating, or we're just supposed to forget it. Very strange situation. They spent they had plans forever to put the belts on AJ. At one point, they were going to have Dolph with the world title, Dolph and Big E with the tag titles, and AJ with the Divas title. They'd have all the belts. And that plan obviously changed. But they waited a long time to get AJ and Ziggler as champions at the same time, and now they are, and now they're apparently not together. Actually, Ziggler's not champion, but he was. They were champions together for a moment, but they aren't now. We'll be back in a moment talking more. Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. And we are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, Wrestling Observer Live, of course, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Wanted to mention, there was a shooting at a Colt Cabana comedy show over the weekend in Vancouver. Don't have a ton of details. I talked to a few people that were there, and apparently it happened outside, and half the people were in the club, half the people were outside. Allegedly, a guy came by and started shooting, and he fired two shots, apparently didn't hit anybody, and then turned the gun on himself, and the word was that he was unsuccessful in his suicide attempt, but that he got off a good shot. It was very distressing, I am told, from people that witnessed the scene. One person said they'd be just shocked if the guy survived. But he was alive at the time, and they obviously the cops and paramedics, everybody came and took him away. But just a very terrifying situation from talking to people that were there. I don't have a lot of details on it. I haven't seen any news articles from the Vancouver area, but just from talking to people, I mean, there were people outside when the guy came and started shooting, and I don't know if he left and came back and was angry or what the story was, but it was at a club where Colt Cabana was performing, and thankfully he and everybody else are okay. Like I said, nobody actually got shot when the guy fired the two bullets. But it was a very, very scary scene. All right, everybody, we're going to wrap it up. I want to thank you all so much for listening. Obviously, next week we'll be back to normal. Mike Sempervivi will be back here on the program. And we'll be back with a two-hour show talking all sorts of news. We'll do a preview of the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. And, of course, don't forget Raw is tomorrow with the Wyatt's Gut Check with Vicky and the final build towards the Money in the Bank show. And last night, Wrestling Observer Radio with myself and Dave Meltzer is up right now at WrestlingObserver.com. Everything you ever wanted to know about UFC 162 and the doom of Anderson Silva is up on the website right now. So once again, thanks everybody for listening. Thanks, Mike. Thanks to the folks at Sports Byline USA. We shall be back next week with more. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.